This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to another episode of the One Was Had a Dream podcast. You might hear my voice. I am back. I'm over my flu slash Dublin flu. I was rough, to be fair, for 2 weeks. But yeah, my name's Lee. I am back. I'm the host of the pod. Dan has done a great job. A much better host than me, as I've been told by many, many people.
Facts.
Thanks for that. Mainly Gary O'Saxby, who told me that. Said, yeah, best pod ever when I'm not on it. But yeah, we have got Danny Baker. We were meant to have a guest, but unfortunately they didn't come back to me. So it's just me and Danny today discussing everything Wimbledon. Danny, how are we? We good?
It's like Kylie and Jason Donovan back together at the moment.
Yes, mate. Yeah, I have
listened. Which one are you? Are you Kylie or Jason Donovan?
Don't know. My dress sense, I'll probably be Jason with the multi-coloured dream coat.
Absolute shambles. But it's nice to have you back sick, though. Yeah. After your near-death experience.
Still not 100%. Still rough.
What was it? Just one Guinness too many, was it? Just couldn't hack it after five, was it?
Mate, I drank a hell of a lot. I think, again, when you go away for weekends, like with the lads and stuff, it was heavy drinking. Hardly. We went to an early house. Do you know what early house is?
Yeah, big time.
They open at 7:30 in the morning, a pub that opens at 7:30 in the morning selling alcohol. We went there on a Friday at 9:30 in the morning. It was absolutely rammed, this place. So Geezer's like, "Well, you're drinking Guinness?" And we're like, one of the guys was like, "Oh, can I have a coffee, please, mate?" Geezer just started laughing. And then he went, "Oh, you're being serious?" He's like, "Oh, okay. Like, yeah, we'll give you a coffee. You go sit on your own over there. Everyone else having Guinness." They're quite rude. They're quite abrupt, the Irish. I quite like it, though. We went into one place to get breakfast, and the geezer comes over. There's 13 of us. Or he goes, "Right, 13 Irish fries. That's it. Done. Anyone having drinks? Guinness, right, bosh." Someone's like, "Can I get a flat white?" He's like, "No, it's coffee or..." Do you know what I mean? It's like, right, that's it.
Yeah.
That's what
you're having.
But it was good. But yeah, I come back off rough, still tired now. Just, yeah, I don't know.
Oh,
I think it's a form of COVID, but I'm not positive on COVID tests. No, because I had to have a COVID test.
No, just the way that you said it, you were like, "I'm not positive on COVID tests." It's like, you've done the test, you've been positive, but you're just not positive about the positive result.
No, I was negative.
Well, that's what I heard.
I was negative on the COVID test because we had to do a COVID test because my boy, he's been out in New York for a school trip. How mad is that?
What?
Yeah, my boy's just come back from New York on a school trip.
Behave.
Saturday, come back today.
You can't have a go at me about working at an independent school, an all-lardy-dale, whatever you want to call it, but then talk about going to New York.
Yeah, well, you didn't have to go, but there was free trips, right? Listen to this. Free school trips during this half term.
Right. Hold on. Let me try and guess. I reckon it's New York.
Yep.
Okay. I reckon there's a skiing trip.
Yep.
Go on, son. Now, what's the...
You won't get the third one.
Be?
Third one's well out there.
I'm going for... You've got a skiing trip. Okay. I'm going to say it's going to be a... Like a language is like Paris or something like that.
No, well out. So it was New York, which he went on. There was the skiing trip, obviously.
Excellent. And have you been skiing before?
Who?
You?
No, don't really fancy it. I'm more of a snowboarder than a skier.
Of course you are. And Thailand, you
Thailand. 10-night trip to Thailand.
What?
Like going out
Doing
in the camp,
what?
helping with the elephants and stuff and building shacks and stuff.
Helping with, how Mate, very generic.
It's mad. It cost me an absolute arm and leg. Like his New York trip
what
was
you
unreal.
In Thailand? Help with the elephants, built a couple of shacks.
It really annoyed me like a couple of times. I messaged him. I said, oh, what are you having for lunch? Because they got breakfast and dinner included. Like they went Bubba Gump's, they went Hard Rock Cafe, they went
lovely, New York.
Pizza Place. So I said to him, like lunch they had to provide for themselves. So I said, oh, what are you getting for lunch? McDonald's. I was like, you're in New York. There is some of the best cuisine you could have, some of the worst cuisine you can have, and you're going
Definitely.
To McDonald's. And he was like, yes, right next to where we're staying. But yeah, their trip, they went up the Empire State. They went to 9/11 Memorial. They went and saw.
It's a great city.
Oh, mate, it's the best place. If I won the lottery, I'd live there 6 months of the year when the weather's nice, not when it's crap. But it was cold for him. But yeah, New York on a school trip. I've never heard anything like it. I went to I think we went to Calais. And then We weren't allowed to go on any more school trips because we bought a load of bangers.
We went to the Loire Valley in France. I went skiing, school trip, loved it.
Of course you did.
Luckily, and I was at a grammar school, so it wasn't like a private school. Went on a cricket tour to Barbados. That was absolutely fantastic. But since you've been away, I went on the Don's tour. That's pretty good.
You did, yep. I went on it when it first started. We had Eric online.
Did you?
Hmm.
Yeah, we had Ray was brilliant. Had Stu in the background doing all the film, which was nice. And we had some random player called, is it Steve Jones? I'm tempted to say something like that. It was quite interesting. Quite a lot of people. It was half term on the Friday. We must have had over 20 on Good. It. Really interesting going to see it. The sheer potential of the ground. I just hope that we've got the right people to maximise it because I feel like it's a really wicked opportunity, but you're going to need some legwork to begin with the club. But I went on Tuesday to the game and I sat in the main stand. I haven't been there before, haven't even been up. And that's really nice as well, what they've done there. So, that was a really pleasant experience. The same old stuff as we've spoken about, just a bit frustrating with a little bit of the nothing to do with the tour route or the people in it. We went in the changing room and Jackson had left all of the tactics from Barrow on the wall. So we looked at you like, who are you marking? What are you doing? Where do you go on this one? They've got like a really wicked infographic on the wall. I don't know if you've seen it. They have like the attacking half and the defending half. And it's like, in this particular area, prevent the cross, press, do this. This means don't shoot. It's quite a cool graphic. But again, it's just that, like we spoke about previously, just a club at times, they do so many wicked stuff. Like I said, can't fault the tour guides. The tour was great. But it's just like the spelling mistakes and stuff like that. It's like, oh, guys, please. We've done this. Is such a brilliant topic. And 90% of the fans would look at it and go, I wouldn't even bat an eyelid. But it's just like, I'm just thinking in my head, if I'm a player and I'm starting to come to a club, and I walk in the door to meet, and I just, oh, what's that? And it's spelt wrong. I'm like, what? Do you know what I mean? It's just that kind of, just that sort of stuff. But that was,
No, because I watched, I watched the Meet the Manager event, which didn't get the numbers I think they were hoping for.
What are they likely?
I didn't go. I watched it on YouTube.
When you watched it, I don't watch
it. It depends on at the time when it was on. We were doing okay, so it was kind of there weren't. I thought there was only about 25, 30 people there, which is a shame. It's again, but when are they meant to have them? You can't have them on a Saturday after the games. Do you know what I mean? You can't have them Tuesday after the game, so you have to have them during the week. I'm well happy that the club put it on and the YouTube video went out, but again, the graphics and stuff for me is very amateurish. There's spelling mistakes within it, and I just think it could be better within regards to that. But again, we have volunteers doing stuff for the club free of charge, I'm guessing, off their own back. I just think sometimes as a professional football club, we need to be full on making sure that everything that goes out is 100%. So like the other day, I had a go at the music that they put on the videos. I don't think some of the rap music that we use is appropriate for a family-friendly female or in a, you know what I mean, trying to get females down to football women's game, and we're using rap music where it's talking about choking people and stuff like that.
Such a delicate balance, isn't it, in terms of the volunteer debate?
I got told I'm old and boring, which is probably very true.
Yeah,
but I don't want my 14-year-old boy listening to some of the rap music they put on. And one of them the other day was a horrendous rap song, and it had some of the lyrics were definitely not appropriate. And people just say, well, you're boring and old now. But yeah, I just think we can be better with everything that we do.
Yeah.
But there
it's
are
so,
people
it's such a
that,
it's so delicate, isn't it, in terms of the
and as I said to you earlier, if you do say anything about it, you're just a moaner, you're whinging, you're just throwing slander at the club. It's like, well, actually, as fans, we'd be saying this in the pub, or we'd be moaning about it over a Guinness and stuff like that. So it's all we do on a podcast. But there are some good, as you said, there are some good stuff going on. People are trying their best. But it's like with the
it's just a really, really crucial year or 3 years, if you like, in terms of if we don't get it done now, we're not going to get it. If we're not going to nail our offer, our ground, what we do, how we do it now, we ain't ever going to sort it. And it's just try and really, really try and just get it right now, and we're laughing. If we don't get it right, we're behind the eight ball.
It's the hospitality as well. I've not done hospitality.
No, I haven't either.
And I know Mick Dawes was pushing for Ivor to come back to do the speech after the match and stuff. One of my mates was up in hospitality, and this is no dig at the person doing it now. I don't know who they are.
No. I don't know.
But he messaged us and he sent a video and he said, this is so boring. The guy doing it has no personality. He has nothing going on, and they need to get Ivor back pushing it with the passion that he has. Don't know why he was taken off it, but yeah. And I know, what's his name? He used to do Love Sport, not Aaron, the other guy that does the Broncos as well. He does some of the hospitality. He's very good. But I do wonder if we're paying Aaron, if we're paying, what's his name? I forget his name. He done Love Sport with us. He was on Talk Sport and everything. I forget his name. Really good looking lad. No, it's definitely not you. I do wonder if we're paying the people to do this now, and we're trying to be a bit more professional in that way. But I think where you're used to Ivor and his jokes and stuff and doing the hospitality, when it's a little bit more professional, maybe it's a totally different. It's like, oh, this is different to what we're used to. Some people like that, if that's hospitality, and that maybe should be the case. But yeah, I just, again, we said before, we've been in the stadium now good for years. We should have ironed out all these cracks and stuff. But the new MD will be starting soon anyway, won't he? I think he starts, when is it? He starts
not
April.
Sure. But talking about MDs, I know we're just going to sidetrack, and I know people talk about it. Just want to congratulate Danny Macklin on Twitter. Just seems to have sorted his life out a little bit. Just got himself back out and doing what he's doing. Pleased that somebody can turn a corner like that. And regardless of people's opinions, I'm just pleased that he's managed to overcome a couple of demons and get himself sorted. So I'm just... go on.
No, I was going to say, we wished him all the best. On Twitter, there's nothing nice of what happened with the situation with Danny Macklin. Hopefully, he has turned the corner. He did, I think it said on there, he did receive 2 weeks' help. He's trying now. So good luck to Danny, and good luck to everyone that was involved in that.
Really sad news about Charlie Strutton today. Did you read that?
Yeah, just about to say, I'm
34.
Yeah, I know.
Did you hear anything about what, anyone? I don't know.
No, I just saw the Chaffin, St. Peter, I think the team, put a thing out. And it actually really got to me a little bit, because I really liked Charlie when he was playing for Wimbledon. I thought he would have gone a little bit further with us if it weren't for the injuries he suffered.
Yeah.
And I think he would have been a Wimbledon legend if it weren't for, and we'll talk to him, Stephen Gregory, because Stephen Gregory would have passed that ball across for him at Milton Keynes away, and Charlie would have scored, and he would have gone down in folklore, because we would have gone 2-1 up there, and I think we would have won that game. But yeah, very sad news. Condolences to his family and friends and anyone who knew Charlie. But I was there for that
FA Cup game.
The York one.
Do you remember the FA game at home? It's the first time I've never seen it where a foul took place, ref played advantage, we scored, he then went back and sent the guy off.
Yeah.
Never seen it. I always thought a red card was immediately stop the game, end that place and do it. No. He scored an absolute corker in the cup. And went back and sent the bloke off. I was like, that is unusual.
Yeah, he was a really good player. He was a really good player. He kind of fitted the mould of what we had at that time of we had Richard Butler before, Charlie Shrutton, and they were very similar players, very quick, very hard-working. Then we had John Main, do you know what I mean? And players like that coming through, they were all very, very similar in the way they worked, the quick pace, and they could finish. But yeah, he would have scored more goals, I think, if it weren't for injuries. But yeah, 34.
Very sad to
hear. Don't know what happened. Not sure we should know what happened. That should maybe remain private between family. Okay. But I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Well, talking about not knowing what happened, should we talk about our last couple of games?
Yeah, I was at Plough Lane on Saturday.
Okay.
Queues to get in are still ridiculous for me. And they're still taking water bottles off people as well, which I find very strange. But really weird game. I said to the boys when we were going in, I said, we're going to be very flat atmosphere-wise because Morecambe only brought a couple hundred down. Do you know what I mean? It had that feeling when we play teams where there's no away fans, we've got to make the atmosphere, which most home teams don't, not just Wimbledon. It's a lot of home teams
I agree.
That won't make the atmosphere. It was a flat game and there weren't too many chances. For overall, we were the better team, but we fell asleep, try and claim a offside, they go and score. And it was just very disappointing. If you're going to be a playoff team, you need to be winning them home games, especially as they went and got battered 3-0 on Tuesday against Walsall. Do you know what I mean? They weren't a great side. They didn't have anything up front and we fell asleep and let them in again.
Unfortunately, in both games, I think every single fan could have saw the goals coming. I can't speak about the Morecambe game. I was watching it in South of France, obviously. When I was Chianti. I went on the game on Tuesday. And I don't think I've watched the game when I'm like, well, this is... You could just tell. It was a matter of time. Again, I did the pod last week. I've had a bit of interesting press from a few people telling me I'm a bit negative and that, I can't believe you're talking about this at the other world. Unfortunately, exactly what I've said has happened. We've struggled to make chances. We've struggled to score goals. We seem to have completely changed the style of football that we've done due to personnel stuff. A lot of it is out of people's hands, which is understandable. And without Ali, we look mid-table. We just look... But we're not at the moment. We're still playoff right on the border. But we just look like a really functional, okay football team without a real punch.
I don't get this thing about... To be fair, I do get it. We've lost two of our best players in Johnson and Lewis, our two centre-backs. Reeves and then Al Hamadi, right?
Yeah.
But we have a squad of experienced players that should be able to be thrown in cases like this, right?
Yes.
So, Morecambe, we had Kofi Barmer playing. Yeah, I think Lee Brown's played very well.
I agree. I'm not a fan of his at all, but he's been really good.
He hasn't gone backwards for me when he's got Barmer next to him. He's gone forward. Yep. Do you know what I mean? He hasn't, like we all thought we would happen if we had someone that slow at the back. I thought he's been really good. He's led well, and that's a good thing for us. I just don't know why people keep saying, all our best players are injured. But we have got no McLean, no Sasu on the bench on Tuesday. They're not injured. There's no Morgan Williams is not near it again. Nowhere near it again.
Where's Biller? Is he injured?
No idea. I don't think so. Because
he's not even on the bench.
But then Ogundeir has stepped up massively for me. Ogundeir has been a revelation since you and George just said about loaning him out. I know that was a few months ago. But Biller got suspended
on this podcast, that is the one thing that you constantly say. And we're going to talk later about a tactics, and I think he's part of our problem.
He's part of our problem?
And I'm going to explain it later.
Oh, man, I think he's one of our most underrated players at the moment. Defensively, he has been spot on.
I think he's part
of our problem. If you look at the Crawley goal, he should do better on Tuesday for the goal.
No, but you can't because you think he should play for England.
But then, I don't think he should play. But Bugle shouldn't defend like that. I don't know what he's trying to do on Tuesday anyway.
Just
but
kick with your left foot.
Saturday, what my problem as well with Jackson at the moment is Why?
Oh, he's not JJ. He's not JJ now. He's got back.
No, he's frustrating the hell out of me. I still don't. I've not wet the bed so much that I want him sacked like some people have, or want to ask questions to Wild Thing and say to him, when are you starting and we can get rid of Jackson? But his subs baffled me. Tuesday, we'll come on to Tuesday a bit later. But why do we keep taking Kelly off, Josh Kelly? He's not injured, right? Because he starts. And I'm not talking about Tuesday. Some people said he felt his hamstring on Tuesday. I'm talking about Saturday against Morecambe. We would never have taken Ali off. Never. Right? We'd have trusted Ali to go out there and make chances. We're also, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, why we changed the way we're playing. We're just playing massive long balls to Josh Kelly like he is Ali. We're treating him like he's Ali, and he's not. He's a different player to Ali. Right? He's quick. He's powerful. But he ain't going to make chances like Ali did. But he'll get behind players. And we just keep playing hopeless long balls to him, instead of trying to feed him through on the floor, trying to get him behind. But we keep bringing him off 60, 70 minutes because we feel like we've got to play Davison. Davison comes on and he does, against Morecambe, he did nothing against Morecambe. Didn't touch the ball. And Tilly, again, as well, is well out of form at the moment. And he's becoming a very greedy player that doesn't play for the team. So where is McLean? Where is Sasu? Do you know what I mean?
I can't really argue too much with that. I feel, I won't lie, I don't share the optimism or the enthusiasm that people have had for Kelly since he's come. I'm not blaming him at all. I'm not ridiculing him. He's going to take time to get set. But there has been a number of times where he's almost run away from the ball or run into a different space. And I think a lot of that is probably, I'm watching it and I'm frustrated because I'm thinking, well, Ali would have just gone there. And he's a different player. And I think I just need to adapt to the different play. He's worked hard, but he's had absolutely...
Is there no service?
Bar the two opportunities at Barrow when he was one-on-one, he's barely had a kick anywhere near the area. And again, I think this is part of a problem that we have around adaptability. We just don't... We kind of seem to say, okay, in this game, we need this, and we stick to it blindly throughout, no change, like for like subs. And we go, okay, well, this next game, we're going to play in this way. So we're not going to play two wingers. We're going to play like a 4-3-3 like we did on Tuesday. And then you're like, oh, well, what's happened here then? And it's just, it's infuriating because, like you said, the argument around players being injured is the two centre backs. But I thought Barmer was very good, and I thought Brown's been good. I thought on Tuesday Barmer went off, Pierce came on. I thought he was decent. I didn't. It was a bit Dad's Army at the point, to be honest with you.
But it's going to be low, isn't it?
I don't think they were a problem. But we are, I guess, that's when we go into a big, more detailed football tactical chat, if you like. And again, it's just an opinion, but there are clearly some tactical things that are affecting us, but I'm a bit unsure of why. Like you said, okay, John Joe O'Toole. What's the point?
What's the crack?
I don't necessarily think it's a waste of a loan, because I think it's exactly the same loan as Johnny Lakin, as Charlie Lakin, is the fact of Reeves was injured. We needed some cover. He can't play centre back because we're down to our sixth centre back, and he's still not on the pitch. So I'd prefer, to be honest, to take John Joe O'Toole out and put either Biller,
I wouldn't put either in,
Williams, Sasu. I'd have any of those guys on the bench. And to be honest with you, I feel like we're at a point where, and I know people go, oh, you can't, you've got loads of stars. I wouldn't have a keeper. I'd just go, sod it. We'll just pack it out and we'll be a bit more aggressive with our play and create those options. Because I don't really see how Kel offers more than Sasu, offers more than Williams to a point. I think Ball has been okay, Ball hasn't, in my opinion, really grabbed that role in one of those two. And I don't think that's it's a really harsh comment because he's kind of been a bit starty, but he's just not the same as those two.
I agree with you on Ball. I think I've been not disappointed in him, but he hasn't gone and grabbed games like Little has previously or Reeves has previously. And that's
he hasn't
what you
grabbed
want.
The shirt, has he? He hasn't.
No, yeah, but you want him to go and grab the game. And I know he's played in a number of positions. So he's played in the Diamond at the like DMC, so to speak, against Wrexham. He played at the top end of the Diamond. Yep. Do you know what I mean? He's played here, there and everywhere. And that's my problem, I think. With regards to, again, the subs, we like for like pretty much all the time. I know Tuesday people will say, well, we switched up a bit. Well, we didn't, because he put two players up front and took two players off that were playing striker. But then he put two wingers up front because we didn't have anyone else attacking on the bench anyway. So I agree with you on Pell. My problem is he trusts the experienced players too much. So the Pells, the Pierces, John Jarrell-Tools.
Trust them with what, though?
I don't know. Why are they on the bench instead of a Sasu, instead of a Morgan Williams? I'd rather have Morgan Williams on the bench than Harry Pell. I'd rather have Morgan Williams on the bench than John Joe O'Toole.
I just struggle to understand.
He ain't our player. He goes back to Mansfield at the end of the summer, or he'll be out of contract. But
the Harry Pell thing, I can argue with, right? And someone could tell me about it, and I go, okay, fair cop, I can understand it. John Joe O'Toole, no, I'm sorry. We need to look after our own first.
Great.
Whether there's part of his contract, whether it's part of the loan, I ain't got a clue. But that's no by the way, that's not a detriment to John Joe at all. I've barely seen him play. And in his pomp, I thought he was a very useful footballer. But he's just not going to offer the same kind of thing. And I feel like if we're going to have any opportunity to cement a top 10 place, we're going to need to be a little bit braver. And I just feel at times we've been a little bit safe across the board. I've got to say this as well, and people are going to kill me. I think the atmosphere on Tuesday was terrible. And again, I was sitting in the main stand.
Saturday was
Crawley fans are giving it both barrels. And my mate he's a Crawley fan, Josh, bless him. And he came with me to watch it. And he was like, when you guys came to Crawley, you lot were bouncing like mental. It was like, this game, it's been like a library. But also, that the attendance of that game was, what, 7,000, I think it was?
Yeah,
I bought a ticket in the main stand. In the very corner, it's the only place I could get a ticket, right? In the corner, I could have sat anywhere I wanted. I sat literally behind the Crawley bench at the back next to some other random bloke. There was no one anywhere near me. I was literally next to Thorpe doing all of his stuff and all the media and all the commentary. I feel like the challenge I also have is that if we're saying it's 7-2, I'm expecting a 7-2 atmosphere. I'm expecting 7,200 people to generate some atmosphere. Whether that is the fans' fault or the players' fault is always that argument enough for grabs. Whether it's a case of, well, the players have got to give us something to the fans. But, and again, I don't want fans who are behind the goal, which is normally me, to be blunt, to kick off and go, oh, you don't know, you don't care. It's just from the side, we were very, very quiet. And whether that is because the time has come where we need to create an intervention like you've spoken about before to get people going, whether it's a case of let's go back to basics and sing very, very simple songs that we know that everyone knows, whether it's a case of can we get ourselves to the point where all of the people who are doing all of the singing are in the same part of the ground, I don't know. But the atmosphere on Tuesday wouldn't have inspired me to play football.
Saturday was the same.
Okay.
Saturday was, I didn't go Tuesday, but you can tell from watching it in Spain that it was empty in places. My problem with this, Danny, and we've raised this many times regarding it, and we've been shot down quite a bit regarding the attendance figures, I just don't think the club care. The club are getting money from people for tickets they've bought, or do you know what I mean? I don't know how you resell tickets. I haven't got a season ticket this year. I don't know how you resell them back or stuff. I don't know if the club are actively looking, if they've got people to do it, got time to do it. Maybe this is the MD's job when he comes in. But yeah, it says 7-2. Do you know what I mean? And the football ain't great again at the moment. So maybe if people, I'd I ain't going to lie. I went on Saturday to Plough Lane. Again, it takes me ages, so maybe that's part of it. But I don't really enjoy it. I don't really enjoy going down to Plough Lane. Do you know what I mean? Trying to get a beer at half time was a night, or food the other day was a nightmare at Saturday. Trying to get something to eat. You're in the queue for the whole of half time, possibly going into the second half. Most people leave now 10, 15 minutes or before the half has even finished, just to make sure they can get something to eat or drink. Yeah, a lot of the places run out of food when I was there previously. And it's just, yeah, I don't really want to be paying £10 for nachos with a bit of chili on them either, when there's great options around Elsfield that I can get after the game and stuff like that. And yeah, it's empty. There's, you can't get seats anywhere. As you said, you try and get tickets, or you want to take a friend, you can't get them together. And then you go there and there's loads of seats together.
I think that's the thing for me. I don't have a, and again, I think it's a really good point of the resale, because I had three tickets, right? I bought two and I had a spare, and the blokes wasn't bringing his dad. He pulled out late in the day, but I had no concept of understanding where to put it on if they wanted it. But like I said, it just wasn't a 7,200 kind of ground. Like I said, Crawley had half. That's half of that north stand, if you like. That was not used, and it was sort of in and out.
Pretty poor following from them, to be fair. It was only down the road. I thought they'd bring a lot more. Tuesday night, I get it, but
I mean, they were noisy. It's interesting. They're desperately trying to create some energy in this fixture, and we're not that bothered, I don't think. But they really, really are, like, properly. This is like their kind of, right, this is our, and I don't blame them because there's no one else around. So they're kind of like, right, come on, this is our ground, this is our game. And they haven't done it. But we've been talking relatively negatively. We are still in the hunt. We're still a team that is just outside the playoffs.
Yep.
Who have got the best goal difference out of the whole of the, what, 8-9 teams?
Yep.
And it's in our hands. If we have a decent result against Doncaster on Saturday, which we're more than capable of, our best version of us to get a result, I guess the question will be, and I think we're going to come on to shortly, is what do we need to do to get to that point? What are we doing wrong and how do we get there? But
we've also still got to play the teams around us. Crews, do you know what I mean? We've still got to play Harrogate, who are massively now, I don't know where they've come from. Stockport,
Gillingham at home, Gillingham away.
We've got winnable games in Swindon, Newport, places like that. We just got to find a way. We'll talk about this later regarding finding goals again. Do you know what I mean? We were finding goals and now they've dried up. Do you know what I mean? We're making silly mistakes that are costing us a goal, like the one against Crawley. Do you know what I mean? They didn't look like scoring all night until they've done a long throw, we couldn't clear it, and they scored. But we weren't looking like scoring either, unfortunately. And then on Tuesday, Crawley, the subs that we made were just blew my mind, to be fair. Taking off both your strikers, putting on two wingers up front. Do you know what I mean? And one of them's just come back from bad injury. The other one, I don't know where he's been the last couple. He's a winger, Gordon, for me. He's not a striker. And yeah, and we didn't have a sniff once we made the changes.
And again, from the hour, we were totally dead. Like, we had the good first half. We started the second half. Davison had a great chance. Keeper made
great
in his credit.
Oh,
you can't argue that. That is a superb save.
Yeah.
But from that kind of moment, and again, it's a weird one because I always feel we're in a bad place when Jackson does interviews, and I'm kind of like, no, I'm not buying what you're telling me. And I felt his interview about the game, about how we dominated bits and pieces. We're starting to get back into this sort of nonsense talk around, oh yeah, we're miles a better game, but we just didn't deal with this. No, we weren't, mate. We didn't make much in the second half. They were picking us off, their young lad at Lolos, just constantly getting on the ball, causing mischief. And again, we lost to what I think is a really, really average Crawley team. They are poor. The one good thing about all of this is that we are playing at the moment, in my opinion, below par, and we're still competitive.
Yeah.
Which is brilliant for us to have. And it's even better because I think next year is going to be even more competitive. I think, like this year, I feel like we've got a couple of teams who've got a few bobs, Stockport in particular, Wrexham.
Yeah.
We've got a few teams who, like Mansfield, who've been kind of nudging, talking about going up for a while. Next year, the teams that are coming down, what, Cheltenham, Fleetwoods,
Charlton.
They, potentially Charlton, potentially Reading. You've got loads of these teams. I'm thinking, do you know what? Next year, if we can keep people fit, we can get a couple of signing, we could be in a really good place.
I agree with
if
that.
If we're clever. So I
this
don't,
is, I'll yeah, ask
it's,
you.
It's not the be all and end all, but it is just a, it would, I guess it's one of those things that if you take a step back, look at it from perspective and go, the last 10 years, we've been rubbish. Look at us now. Aren't we good? Then you kind of go, yeah, okay, but it's, we've just threatened to be good this year. That's
the problem we got, Dan, is I think we're, because we're still in the hunt, as you said, we're 1 point off the playoffs. I think that still gives people hope and this expectation that we should. And we've got, for me, we've got a team. I know we've got injuries, but we had a team that should be comfortably playoff bound with the team. I just think sometimes the manager makes mistakes and stuff. And I know he's still learning and stuff, but he does make mistakes. And as you said, the interview after, I wanted a bit more insight into why he changed the subs like he did. People said that they saw Kelly hold his hamstring and stuff, but again, we don't know if that's true. People said, well, why would the
he definitely us? He definitely was holding his hamstring at the game.
Just definitely. Say he's come off as a precaution and we didn't want to risk him. We've only got two strikers at the club, but it's one of them things, we never get that information anyway. He'll probably start on Saturday now anyway, but yeah, I think that's the problem at the moment. I think we're still in the hunt for a playoff because I agree with you. I think next year we could really have a solid go at this next year.
Yes.
Get a couple of signings, get rid of some of the dead wood that we've been wanting to get rid of. The Pels are go, the Pierces are go, Brown are go, Zanev are go, Davison possibly could go.
It's actually the reason why I'm not absolutely hell-bent on having a playoff.
Try and blood some of the youngsters now, the Williamses, the Sutcliffes, the McLeans and things, and see how they get on. But because we're in the hunt,
of course, that's the problem. You can't do that if you want to do it. But I think as a group, I mean, we've been speaking about it. I think as a fan base, I think we've got a set of players right now that could get close, potentially could get in that top seven. But we've got to tweak the way that we're playing. And I think we're going to come to that now.
Yeah, all right, we'll move on. And then when we come back, we'll talk about why have we changed the way we play, tactics, and Johnny Jackson subs and tactics and stuff. And can we get more out of our forward lineup than we are getting at the moment? See you in a bit.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans, for the fans.
Right, we're back and we're going to be discussing the why have we changed the way we play? Obviously, some people will be shouting, well, because Ali's left. But why have we changed the way we were playing football previously? It seems to me now that we go long ball as a first option, just pump it long for Josh Kelly to try and run onto. He's caused a couple of problems. The goal against Barrow where Curtis scores, he caused issues there. But we don't get the ball down anymore, play it a little bit. Our wingers don't go after their fullbacks. And why can't we? What can we do tactically to get more of our front line? Because we have got players like Tilly. I know they're a bit off form at the moment, but he scored 10 goals at the start of the season. We have got Gordon, Curtis, Josh Kelly's come in, Davison still. What can we do? Is it a case of, we said earlier, bringing maybe McLean in, Sasu, and giving them a chance? What can we do, Dan? What can we do?
Well, the first bit is, disclaimer, these are just my personal observations. I'm not a FIFA coach or anything like that. But I can go around the whole pitch, in my opinion, and almost bit by bit deconstruct why this is where it is and why we're struggling. So for me, I feel one of the biggest issues that we're having at the minute is our two centre backs. And the reason why I think they're a problem is as follows. I think number one, Barmer has been solid, but the long throw has killed us in a negative way on the fact of all we do in that half is just long ball, long throw, long throw, long throw. And we've now got ourselves trapped down a rabbit hole where we're not a particularly big side, by the way. We're not a a huge side. And Barmer constantly long throwing it. Almost, we never get any success, right? So I feel like we've got this real asset. We feel like we've got to use it because it's, look at this long throw, it's mental. We've almost forgotten that. Well, almost every League Two team have got two just massive lumps at the back. That's basically, isn't it? That's the default position in League Two. Just like Crawley, let's have two massive lumps at the back. Yep. That's what we're going to do. We're going to have two massive lumps at the back and we're going to play from there. I think the other challenge we've got is we're getting massively overrun in the centre midfield because the gap between the centre-backs and the centre-forwards is way too big. And that was so evident against Crawley when Little and Reeves are on the pitch and they're desperately trying to firefight. But because Pierce and
Brown
can't get higher up the pitch because they're too terrified to get hit over the top. So they're sitting deeper, 10 yards in some points. And all that does is create some massive vacuum between Little and Reeves. The front line, if you imagine it, right? It used to be with Ali, you've got our centre-backs are playing quite high. Ali can play high, he can drop deep, but there's an easy pass in the middle. We've now got Kelly, who wants to go over the top. You've got the two centre-backs who want to get deeper. So you've got this massive vacuum of room where we like to get it, give it, get it, get it, get it, give it. And with the ball, we're okay. But without the ball, we get mullered because poor Kelly, poor Reeves and poor Little, they just got to cover so much ground. And we got mullered in the, particularly the last 25 minutes of the Crawley game. The middle of the pitch was massive. There was nobody in it. And Crawley were just occupying. That Lolos decided, I'm going to sit a bit deeper and play in the hole. And he absolutely tortured us. So I feel like the defenders are a problem because also we're lacking a little bit of confidence, particularly Pierce. Pierce doesn't want it. So bless him, he was just hitting it nice and long. Brown is okay in patches. But again, because the middle was it's too vast, he can pick a pass okay. But then the strikers are too far away. Their defenders know what they're doing. So they sit nice and deep because they're worried about running over the back. So actually, knocking it over the top is almost negligible. So I kind of feel like that's where one of our major problems is. With Johnson and Lewis, we can definitely get higher. I also feel Agondez in this situation is an issue around goal scoring. We have kept clean sheets and we've been good defensively since Agondez come back in the team. I think everyone can agree with that. And you're right, the 28th time. He has definitely been, in my opinion, in the team in the last six games, one of our unsung heroes. I think he's been solid. I think he's been dependable. But he sits deeper. He's very defensive-minded. And we don't have an attacking threat or an overlap. And what it does do is it suppresses Curry as well because Curry doesn't really want to go without Biller and without matching it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The other side. And that when we play with the fullbacks going around the back of the wingers, using your Tilly as an example, right? Tilly is always looking to go infield.
Yep.
But the only time he gets the space to go infield is if a player's going to run behind him. Because if they're not, you could defend against Tilly. Tilly's never going to go to the right, ever. He's going to tuck in and hit it. So the problem is Tilly's doing exactly what he wants to do, except two of their players, the centre midfielder or the centre back and the left back, know exactly what he's doing because there's no run around the outside. So that's rough on Agonde because he's done nothing wrong and played decent. But if we're going to be in the playoffs, we're going to have to find a way of scoring goals. So my question to you, because I can see you yawning, it's very rude.
Oh, mate,
I can't believe it.
Told you I'm not very long.
I'm delivering an absolute.
It's really good. I'm listening. I am listening.
No, you're not.
I am.
I'm going to carry on then. So with that in mind, whoever's playing on the wings, we've got to have overlapping fullbacks to allow them to do what they want to do. Or you switch the players over. The last couple of games, I feel like we've lost our fundamentals because we've lost our two centre-backs. I don't actually think, and again, sweeping statement, what's the thing you call it? It'll come to me. When you've got an opinion and people don't like it, or they're like, what? I feel that Kelly's not as big a loss as Ali. I think that's a loss. I think the two centre-backs is bigger because I feel like without those two centre-backs, we're deeper and we're affecting the whole rest of our game.
Yeah, and the problem we've got now is Barma. We won't see Barma again.
I wouldn't have thought so, no.
No, he's gone, I think.
And I feel that actually, though, that this may be an opportunity that we might, without the long throw, we might be able to get back to
Who are you playing at centre-back now? You're playing Pearson Brown?
Well, I don't know. I don't
Someone
know
said about James Ball moving into centre-back.
Jesus Christ. But I mean, where's Callum Barty, by the way?
No, I did. Again, how long is Johnson and Lewis?
I mean, I'd be blunt with you. If we're talking about trying to get a bit higher, I mean, we've tried everyone else. I would love to try and find a way of getting Biller back in the team, right? I'd be tempted with Agonde.
Would you do what?
I'd be tempted to tuck Agonde in centre. And then that way you can play Biller and you can get higher up the pitch.
Well, I know Stockport conceded some goals recently, but their thing was going three at the back with only one centre-back. And then they had the two full-backs would play.
So who would you have as a... You'd have what?
So you'd have Brown probably as your centre-back or Pierce.
With Curry and...
With Ogundia and...
And Curry.
Curry, possibly. But then you're missing Curry then going forward, don't you, down that wing.
Well, you do, it's definitely... It's definitely a potential solution. Because
and then you bring Biller back in on the right. You have Tilly on the left.
I just don't think it's a coincidence.
And then you have James Ball. Because I think we need to start playing two up front. And I think Davison is horrendous. He doesn't have a football brain, Davison. And I think for a 22, 23-year-old, he really struggles with actually reading the game and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? So where you haven't got a football a brain, where Bugle has, Kelly has, Ali did, Davison doesn't. The problem is, have we beaten the striker out of Bugle? Is he now a number? Is he that attacking midfielder now instead of a striker? Because we need two up front. I think Josh Kelly needs someone next to him to win flicks, to get hold of the ball, hold it up, and then put the ball through to him. I think we need to stop trying to go over the top to him all the time and play the actual through balls on the floor, pass it around him, and then send Josh Kelly on his way. But I think we need to put Bugle up front and have him up front with Josh Kelly.
I think the challenge I have is that...
Can he play that role now, Bugle?
Bugle, in my opinion, since Ali has gone, has been our best player.
Yeah, but he's
and
played...
I know that we've lost Reeves, and I know we've lost the centre backs.
But he's played behind.
And again, he's been good because he's been able to break play up and then drive forwards. So I'd be really, really loath to move him. But as I said before, again, I don't think it's a coincidence that since we've lost our centre backs, I think Little, who's been probably our better player, he's definitely had the worst couple of games I've seen him play this year. In the last couple of games, by the way, I thought his passing was poor against Crawley, and Morecambe, I think he was really, really average. I don't think it's a surprise that he's, when he gets it, everyone's just too far away. And I feel like that is not his fault as such. I just feel like at the moment, we lack a little bit of compactness and we're too far away. And it means that we have to go longer. Now, there isn't a problem with going longer because in the first half against Crawley, Kelly was basically with a, they had a bloke called Ransom, who's a big lump, and Kelly was just nicking the ball off him constantly. But the moment they sit deeper, someone else has to come and do that role. And I think your what you've hit is spot on. We, I think the day of playing one up front, I think in this group is done.
Yeah.
Kelly is going to need someone to assist him. He's not going to pick the ball up and speed pass players.
Yeah,
he's not going to be able to do that. He's not Ali, and it's difficult because we've been very, very blessed with having a footballer that suited that style of play. This is going to be a really fascinating sector of our existence, particularly with Jackson's era, because he's going to have to change it. In my opinion, we cannot keep just hoofing it long, trying to play second balls, trying to go right with Kelly, because Kelly, we had a ball as the right back, and Ali would have run in a channel in front. Kelly's always trying to run behind into a space, which again is not a crime. That's the way he plays. And he's either going to need it trained out of him to run in front and be more, I wouldn't say more willing because he's a willing runner anyway, but more available to receive it, or we've got to change it up. So I personally feel like on Saturday, we've got to find a way of getting Billa back in the team. In my opinion, he's had his two games. He's been rubbish. The delicate balance on that is Agonde's done absolutely nothing wrong. It would have to be just a tactical conversation. And for me, and again, to be blunt, we cannot afford MK to come to ours and turn us over. If we lose 1-0 on a tight game, the fan base will be okay with it. To play like we did against Crawley and Morecambe against MK at home,
or
it's not going
like
to be
we
tolerated.
Did away.
It won't be tolerated, Lee.
Like we did away. If we play like we did away, I can see it getting very toxic.
We cannot afford
because...
to play that again. And we need to find a way, in my opinion, Billa on his day is going to be better than Agonde. And I feel like, personally, we've got to find a way to get two players up front.
Yep.
We've got to find a way of getting Billa back in the team. And we've got to find a way, however we do it, to get higher up the pitch. And stop. If we're higher up the pitch, we're going to stop hitting it long. There's a place for hitting it long. I'm not saying there isn't, but at the moment, it's constantly get it, nudge forward, hoof it.
Yeah.
And we're getting mullered because the problem as well is Bougiu isn't always at the very, very top of the pitch. He's always dropping in a bit to try and pick the ball up or whatever.
Yeah.
And we're basically asking Kelly to leg it, to get it, and then set up something. And we go back to the old bit where Ali would get it and charge and get back in the box. Kelly doesn't do that. He's not able to do that yet. So, it's definitely going to be a really interesting part because the formation against Crawley was different to Morecambe. We did exactly the same formation as we did against Crawley at theirs. We played two up front with one behind. And for the first half, just like Crawley away, we were successful. But then we just died off our arse.
Dan, someone said to me the other day, I worked until we had Lewis sent off for Crawley away. Right, it did, but we had different players Crawley away to what we had at home. We had Lee Brown and Ballmer at the back, do you know what I mean? Who were totally different to Johnson and Lewis. And as you said, we've got someone with a long throw that we are constantly using, and some of the balls are aimless throws into the box, hoping someone will get a flick. It's not like we've worked on them. The Crawley one looked like they worked on that long throw, and that's why they scored a goal. But my question to you would be, what formation would you be playing or would you be changing it to? Because I do like the diamond because it gives us two up front. It gives us one behind. For me, the diamond does work. But then who are you putting in them two at the moment? Reeves and Little? And then you put in Ball at the back, or you put in Reeves and then you're going Tilly and Little? Because I thought Tilly was horrendous against Crawley when he played in that diamond slot. Or are you putting Gordon in with Little, Reeves, and then you're putting, if he can start games, Curtis just behind the front two. And then them front three, then you've got Kelly, Curtis, and Bugle, which is a decent three, and they can keep changing. Bugle can come back, Curtis can go forward. Do you know what I mean? And you've got
I think
that three's perfect.
Yep.
But it's the three behind then.
For me, we cannot play Davison up front with Kelly.
No.
The reason why I say that, I'm not just saying it because of Davison. It's the fact that if Kelly has a shocker or whatever, we're kind of dead. And I feel like we need someone on the bench. So I'd be playing Curry, I'd be playing Billa, and I'd play two centre backs. And that's
so you're dropping Ogundeyi.
Definitely. And that's rough. I'm more than happy for Ogundeyi to come in at centre back. I've got no drama with him coming in one.
My worry is if you put him in the centre back and he has a bad game, it absolutely kills his confidence and morale, because he's been playing decent as a defensive right back. He has been decent. I get your point that he doesn't get.
Are we going to get in the playoffs with Ogundeyi at right back? I don't think we do. And our best football Billa
before he got suspended was horrendous at Milton Keynes. He had
two terrible games of football.
Yeah, but terrible.
And he's had the sending off, right? He had the sending off at home against, was it Stockport? Anyway, obviously had the Milton Keynes game, which, let's be honest, he was an absolute farce of a football match.
Yeah, really
I didn't see the Peterborough game, right? And like I said, I'm not questioning Ogundeyi at all. I think he's been solid. He's proved me wrong. He's been a very, very, very good player. All I'm saying is if we're going to get promoted or have a chance of a playoff, we have got to get forward better. We need to create. We've just spoken all the time about getting some service to Kelly. Ogundeyi's not doing that. Ogundeyi is crossing. It's poor. As I said, I'd be more than happy with him playing as a centre back. I'm not happy. I'd rather we'd say Johnson and we got on with it. But we don't have them players. So if we're struggling and Ogundeyi was to play right of a two, I'd be okay with that, with Billa on the right. I personally think that Little and Reeves are untouchable. I think you've just got to leave them.
100%.
I think that Tilly's got to play, in my opinion.
If you're playing the diamond?
I don't know whether I'm having a diamond, to be blunt. I don't know which way we're going to go. But what I do feel is that we've got to find a way of Bugiel playing closer with Kelly up the top. I think Curtis wide, I don't think he's got the legs at the minute. But I do think he's a goal threat in the middle of the pitch. And I think if there's one player who can score goals, who knows how to score goals, it's Curtis. Curtis's goal, two goals this year have been in the middle of the pitch.
See, for me, the perfect formation, but I know we won't play it, and I know Wimbledon fans are really scared of it, would be a 3-5-2. The three at the back would be Brown, Pearce, Ogundeyi. And then you go Billa right wing back, Curry left wing back. And then your three across midfield, you'd go Curtis, Reeves, Little.
Yep.
And then you have
fan base will absolutely have
you'd
a heart
say
attack.
To Curtis, you have a free roam. You roam around the pitch wherever you want to go. You don't stay 100%. In that free. You go and pick the ball up. 3-4-3-man-2 kind of thing.
Yep.
And then you've got a strong bench and Tilly to come on, Davison's come on, Gordon's come on. Do you know what I mean? And the only thing is defensively, where do you change it around if you need to? We haven't got much on the bench defensively then, though. That's the only issue.
Well, we don't. But what we do have is we have flex. And again, you don't have to. It's not necessarily personnel. Just change your dynamic. We, on Tuesday, we're losing. We're losing 1-0. And we're taking off our best attacking player, which is Bugiel, for Pell, who, let's be honest, all he is just a header merchant now. He literally, you punt it up long, he wins a header or he doesn't. He's not quick enough on the feet, on his floor. Like I said, love him as a bloke. I think he's a brilliant fella. I think he's been a great ambassador. But he's incredibly limited. And it's just, likewise, we need a goal. We haven't got a centre forward on the pitch. And we're expecting a young winger to go around and do stuff. And he's not getting anything to work with. And Curtis, it just doesn't make... I don't know another
Curtis,
team.
The problem is, we need to get Curtis really up to speed because he is that good a player. He makes things work. He is strong. He's quick.
He is actually the potential player to get us in the playoffs. If we get him, I think, in the middle of the park and on the ball, in those areas, 25 yards out, off you go, son. Do what you need to do.
On the bench because... When you're winning 1-0, 2-0, you bring Pell on to slow the game down.
I get that.
To ruin the game. I get that. But my problem as well is, and we said how we get the best out of our front lineup now, is where are the goals coming from other than before Ali? Where are the goals coming from in our midfield? I can't think. Tilly's last goal, I can't remember what it was.
Well, he scored a couple in the cup.
Reeves and Little scored. Again, struggling to figure out where the goals are coming
Little
from.
Little scored against Morecambe away.
Yeah.
The challenge is, Lee, is that
you know
Ali
mean? You
scored
need
and was
in.
Involved. I mean, Ali was, as you know, when he left.
Yeah, he was in
goal scores and assists. Everything. He was huge.
Goal involvements. Yeah. Making things happen.
Tilly is our top goal scorer, isn't he? So he is definitely the player. And we were so successful, to be blunt, because Billa was constantly running past him. Means that the defenders don't know whether to step right or left. And when they went with Billa, he tucked in and whacked it. And like I said, I think he's a really good player, Tilly. And I don't have a problem as such with him being as greedy as he is. And a lot of fans go, oh, he's being too greedy. Well, tell me where the goal's coming from then. If he is the guy that, as soon as he gets the ball, I'm thinking something could happen. Nobody else. So it's all right having a go at him for not passing. Who is he going to pass to? And are they going to score?
But the only problem we got with
Tilly. The answer is no.
Only problem we got with Tilly. And I think we're actually missing Nurfield. And I know people are going to go, that's mad. That's a really bad shout. But I've said to you before, right? Nurfield's work rate, his defensive work rate is absolutely spot on. And when he's playing with Curry gets round him because he knows that Nurfield's got the pace to get back as well.
Correct.
And I think we're missing that kind of defensive, do you know what I mean? And get the ball and give it and start things off again. Nurfield, and he goes at people as well. He takes people on where Tilly tries to take people on but loses the ball quite easier. But with Tilly, if you're going to play Tilly, you have to play 4-4-2. You can't play in a diamond. And he ain't going to
Tilly?
Yeah, and he ain't fitting 3-5-2.
But again, if we're going to make...
Because I'd have Gordon above him in the 3-5-2 as well. Curtis,
who,
if he can
over
play.
Tilly?
In that three in the middle. I'd have
no,
ball ahead of him.
Not a chance.
He's a winger. He's not a mid... Where's he playing? Were you giving him the free role job that Curtis should give that?
I think Tilly could easily do that. But what I'm saying to you is there's no... Gordon, for me, has been... I'm not exactly endeared with him as such.
He's played really well in a game where he was a winger.
It's rough, but he's had other games as wingers and he's done absolutely nothing. And he's not going to because he's a young lad who's trying to find his way in football. We know with these younger guys who come from the Palaces and stuff, at the back, it's always quite easy and secure.
I think people really underestimate Nurfield and what Nurfield brought to our team. I've seen some people saying he's rubbish, we're not missing him. I actually disagree. I think we're missing him massively for his work rate, what he did off the ball, and the way he got us going again and got us going up the field. But I get what you're saying with regards to Tilly. If we're going to play that, if Curtis can't play because of his injury and stuff and he can only play 30, 40 minutes, you could have Tilly in that free roam.
I think we could definitely accommodate.
I think with
Tilly.
The players that we've got currently at the moment, we have to go with a 3-5-2 or 3-4, 3-man-2. And it would have to be Brown, Pierce and Ogundia, because then that way Pierce can have that kind of sweeper role. See, if he drops too deep, ain't a big deal, but hopefully Pierce, Brown and Ogundia will get him up the pitch and stuff. And
I guess the challenge is...
You can't go with two at the back and it can't be Brown and Pierce. We can't have them two starting.
In my opinion, and I said, the whole of the conversation we've had about playing poorly, I feel, starts with the fact that our two centre-back, and again, I'm not criticising them at all because they're doing what they can, and we know what they are. They're going to sit deep. They're worried about getting hit over the top, and so are we, and they're astute footballers, and they're not wrong in what they're saying. And if we were playing, Kelly was playing against them two, he would absolutely murder them.
Yeah, agreed.
He'd just sit right on the back, and what he'd do, he'd push so far, he'd push them all the way back, and we'd go, right, off you go and play. But I feel like at the moment, if we're going to play the way that we play and the way that we are presenting to Kelly, we've got to give him some sort of support nearby. In a perfect world, you'd play 4-4-2. You'd have a couple of wingers who can actually cross the ball. But that would mean that they've got to go wide. And we don't do that. We've got wingers. We like the inverted winger. And we like the inverted winger because we've got two young fullbacks who can overlap. Without, unfortunately, if you're not playing Billa, Ogundi is not that player.
So,
and he doesn't need to be.
So the original question, Dan, is why have we changed the way we're playing? And you're saying, because I said to someone the other day, it's just excuses for me that our injury record. But
is that why we've changed the way? Because we lost our spine. We lost our two centre-backs, Reeves and then Ali. And that was our spine straight through that team.
100%.
And is that the only reason we've changed the way we're playing? Or could we play better with the players that we've got? Why have we suddenly just gone long ball when Josh Kelly is not a long ball player?
Well, again, though, this is the point we're making, is that, in my opinion, there is a team with the group that we've got. I feel like there is I'm not saying a playoff or a promotion team, but there is a team that can play better football and be more successful, but we're going to need to change the dimensions of what we've got. And I feel like at the moment, Kelly is definitely someone who likes to run in behind. And he's able to do that against certain teams because certain teams will play higher and he can run in behind, particularly into the corners and pick the ball up. But when Pierce is going to get the ball and is Brown, they are going to hit the ball longer and higher. If Bougiou is going to play this 10 role, which is deeper, he's not going to be able to win that header. So it's got to go either behind and Kelly picks it up. But even if he does pick it up there, then what? Who the hell is going to get to him to deliver, to pass, to move? And the answer is, I don't know many. So if we're going to have to be successful in this short term, it's solely going to be down, in my opinion, to the manager having to change our ethos. And it was very easy with Barmer, long throw, long throw, long throw, to what? One player, which is Bougiou. No one else is tall enough to deal with it. Ball, you can argue, but with Reeves and Little, and you've got Bougiou, and you've got Kelly, and you've got the two wingers, Curtis isn't bad in the air, but if you're throwing the ball from the right, you want Curtis on the game.
Another.
We've played the best football we've done by getting the ball on the floor.
Another
really good football.
A big one for us as well is we lost Lemony Evans, and I don't think people realised how good he was for us.
Again,
because we could play with that diamond, with him going wherever he wanted. He'd go wide, he'd come back, he'd win headers. He was, you know what I mean? And I think he's a massive loss for us as well.
If we're going to be successful, we've got to be brave.
I was just about to say the word brave. I think the management team need to be brave. I think we need to, as I said, we need to use three of our best forward players, Bugle, Kelly, and either one of Tilly or Curtis, and go, right, you three have got to go up front. I kind of agree with you regarding Biller, but I think I don't think we'll go to a three at the back. I just can't see it.
I agree. I don't think we'll do that.
Which maybe might be smart, but while we're not managers. But yeah, I just think we need to be braver and get them free on the pitch up front or attacking options, because I think we'll have more chance of scoring goals. Not having Bugle drop so deep either, but get him next to Kelly, winning flicks, holding the ball up, bringing Kelly and Curtis into the game. And then,
but you could also drop, we're not defining, you know, we haven't got to have Bougiou at the top of the time. You just change it up, right? Curtis, you can drop in deep about 5 minutes.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think
Bougiou will do it. And
you can go, Curtis, also, you're now up with Kelly.
And if we're under the cosh, we go, right, Curtis, you can come back now, mate. Thanks very much. Mm. Or you go, right, we're playing 3-3. Curtis, you can back on the left. You've got Little. We've got Armani Little. We'll have Tilly. And we'd also have Reeves as the three. With those three, you can be interchangeable. Right, we're going to play a diamond here with Tilly on the right, Little on the left, one at the bottom and one at the top. And then we can go, right, next 5 minutes, we're going to go back to what we were doing. We've got exactly that formation. We can be flexible. But for me, we just need Sasu's got to come back onto the bench. I'm not saying he's an absolute revelation, far from it, but he's got to come back on the bench. Billa has to come back on the bench. Williams has to come onto the bench. I don't know how good he is. No one knows. He had a blinder against Chelsea, so he can't be that crap. So let's get him back on the bench. Let's lose. We know now that Barmer's not available. So let's put one of them lads back on the bench. Let's think about, do we really want John Gerald Toole? Is he really going to be that man? No, he's not. Right, put him on the bench. And let's have an opportunity where we're playing against a team who are nearer the bottom, probably playing okay. Let's go and be aggressive and let's have a look at this so we can have a decent week, and then we can absolutely go into the game that we all are wanting to win with the best potential form. I'm not saying it's car crash, but the hangover of Ali is, it's done now. We've had the hangover. We've now got to find a way, a solution. We lost Ali. We waited a couple of weeks to get Kelly, which was a huge mistake. The minute we got rid of Ali, it was the minute we should have got Kelly. We've waited too much time in that. It should have almost been Ali out, incoming Kelly, and we start. Well, but we haven't, and that's fine.
This is why I think you're totally 100% on that. I think we should have got Kelly as soon as Ali went, and I think we should have got another striker on loan. I know we tried to get Adjala from Aldershot, but I still think we should have got maybe another striker on loan instead of John Joe at all. Because I don't see what John Joe at all is doing at the moment, and it's not his fault, but playing 5 minutes here, 10 minutes here is no good for him. That's the reason why he left Mansfield. But I think you're 100% spot on. I think we need to be brave. I think we need, if we want any chance of going for the playoffs, I think we need to go for it. And we need to actually attack teams and go and use our strengths of what we got, which is our attacking players. Bugle, Kelly, Curtis, do you know what I mean? Tilly on one wing, Gould on the other, or play Biller. Play Biller on one wing, maybe. But we need to get teams away from our defensive, because that's where we're weak at the moment. Even though we're not conceding loads of goals, but we know at the moment we have got two slow, older gentlemen at the back that can be opened up at will. And yeah, we, you know what I mean? We need to get the ball further up the field and try and score more goals. But yeah.
Agreed.
Anything else you want to add before we move on, Dan?
No, I think that's, yeah. I feel that there is definitely a very good football team in our group. I think there's more than enough ability to not only have a good football team, but to have a backup option. I just really hope, if Jackson is listening, which I'm sure he's not, we're backing him. We've given him this contract. I'd love him just to be really bold here and be like, right, okay, I've been given the green light. I'm here next year. I'm going to really go for this win on Saturday. And a win on Saturday gives us a great momentum moving forward. Yeah. To do that, we're going to need a tweak of it.
We'll talk about Doncaster. We'll come back. We'll talk about Doncaster, build up that game, because I think it's quite a big game with the one that's coming up after that. So we'll move on. And when we come back, we'll discuss Doncaster away on Saturday.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans, for the fans.
We're back for the final part of the episode. We're going to be discussing the Doncaster game on Saturday. Have we got a game on Tuesday this week, Dan? I don't know if we have.
No, we
have the week after it. Yeah, we've got the 5th.
So we've got them, and then we've got a game on the Tuesday. Yeah.
So
Gillingham, maybe.
Yeah, Doncaster. You going?
No, not going Saturday. No, but it's all.
I am.
Are you actually?
Yeah, I'm going. I've never been to Doncaster, so you know.
Have you not?
No, we went up there.
Oh, I went up there. We lost 2-1. Mitchell Pinnock scored for us.
Yeah, I know. A lot of my mates went up when McCormick scored first game of the season, and we won 2-0, I think, up there. Yeah, and I know a few of my mates went on a Tuesday night once when we drew 0-0 to stay up, and they said,
They said
Doncaster on a Tuesday night was like a Friday night in the Algarve. They said it was unbelievable. They went in a pub. There was 21st birthdays. There was stag do's, hen do's, a 60th going on, karaoke, the whole lot. It was all going off in a couple of pubs. It was a Tuesday night in the middle of, like, what, March?
I mean, form-wise, they're all right. They've taken 8 points from 5. They've won their, two of the last 3.
They batted someone Saturday, didn't they?
I think they did, yeah. Or might be in the midweek. I mean, at home, Doncaster, to give you some context, they've the last 5 going backwards. They won their last game. They beat Tranmere at home.
Yeah, they beat Grimsby 5-1 on Saturday.
They lost to Stockport 5-1.
They beat Grimsby 5-1 on Saturday at Grimsby.
Who did?
Doncaster. Who do you think?
No, they didn't.
About? They beat Grimsby 5-1 on Saturday.
They played Tranmere their last game.
On Saturday, the 17th of February, they beat Doncaster, beat Grimsby 5-1.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. It's interesting because in the last, this might be just a home game, shoot, though. Yeah, you're right. Sorry, you're totally right.
I'm always right, mate.
So they've won. They are still. That's away, and they drew with Salford.
They've got goal difference minus 15.
And they drew. I mean, they drew with Sutton away, and they needed a very, very last minute goal. I mean, the good, I guess, for us, the good news is, they are one of the few teams who are done. There's nothing in their season. They're not going down. They're almost certainly not going to get in the playoffs. I mean, we're talking about making up 11 points. Even them, they are literally no man's land. Their season is toast already. Bless their fans. So I feel that there's definitely an opportunity. The fact that they've scored, you can see they're minus 15.
Yeah.
And we're plus 9 means this is a really, really good opportunity that we've got to take. And like I said, I just feel like we've really got to be on the front foot here.
They play a 4-5-1.
Okay. Well, I mean, to be fair, that may not necessarily be too bad for us. We kind of play that, I guess, if you like.
If you look at the stats against Grimsby, they won 5-1. They had 46 possession. They had 10 shots. On target, they only had 4. 6 off target. Grimsby had 14 shots, 4 on target, 5 off target. So it weren't much in it. I think every shot they had, that just went in that day. But yeah, I think, again, it's one we really need to go. You said they're probably not on the beach as such. They're probably playing for contracts and stuff.
They're not going to be a million miles away. Their season is pretty much dead. Yeah. I mean, I'm really looking for... I think we really, really, before the MK game, could do with Kelly getting off the mark.
We are
desperate to get to... And even if he doesn't get off the mark, but just... give him a couple of chances where the keepers make some good saves and just give him, you know, give him some real opportunities to be in to see whether he has got that opportunity to be in those situations. Because that MK game could potentially be one of the biggest games he's ever played in terms of noise, volume, attendance. That will be a big game. And I just hope that we give him the chance to do it. As I've said before, I personally would have to play Billa. I'd play Billa and Curry and 2 centre-backs. Who they want to be is up to people. I'm definitely playing Curtis in the middle. I'm playing Tilly. Reeves comes back and starts. I'm playing Little and I'm playing Curtis in the middle. And then I'm hoping that we've got the idea of we can play, find a way of either we play Kelly and Boogie, who have got to play. I'd love to see Curtis play behind, but I would cope with him being wide and Tilly being the other one. If you're playing Curry and you're playing Villa. If you're not, I'd like to see it change.
No, I think I just want us, for me, it's about how we play on Saturday. We need to go out and actually perform. We need to put a performance on because of the game that's coming up after, especially the way we played since Barrow. Morecambe was awful. Tuesday was awful. Accrington was awful. Do you know what I mean? We haven't played overly well. I thought, for me, Barrow... maybe the fact that they're not on great form now either. I think they lost after they played us. I think they got beat 3-0, I think it was. So they've dropped right off now. But yeah, the last three games, Accrington, Morecambe and Crawley have been very disappointed in performances. Yeah. Actually, clear-cut chances that we've cut out. I actually want to see a performance on Saturday. I want to see people giving 100%, showing what they can do before we play the game on Saturday against them lot. And we need to go in it with at least a decent amount of form. As a draw would not be the worst result for us, as long as we put a performance in. Again, I don't want to see us, what we did against Morecambe, just go through the motion, score, miss a sitter, and then just switch off and concede a goal. I want to see us playing for 90 minutes. And as you said earlier, I think I'd like to see some of the youngsters on the bench, Sasu's, Williams and stuff, because, again, I don't see the point of having Pell and Jonjo at all on it at the moment. If they're, what they're going to bring to the game if we need to score goals.
I'm with you. I feel like we've, personally, I'm slightly on a different one. I think we need to go and be aggressive, and I think we need to try. I think, like you said, a point just keeps momentum. We keep ticking over, and we know in 3 or 4 games' time we'll lose a couple. Barrow coming down from where they are, they're slowly slipping down, is great, because that could, if they continue their terrible form, open up another slot up there. So rather than it being 1-8, it could be 2-9. But I am looking for a more aggressive, a more dynamic performance. And I think we'll get it. And I'm really, really going to back Jackson to acknowledge where we've not been great in the last month. and really, really look to change it up. I'm hoping he does, because if he doesn't, and we have another performance where we've been very, very average, I think he's one of the more stubborn managers that I've seen. And I really hope that we can just not go into this Bugio off, Pell on, same formation. Kelly off, Davison on, same formation. Like, it just doesn't, we're not this changing.
This is my big worry. That's my big worry. Because he doesn't seem to change things about. He did on Tuesday, to be fair. We've been calling for it. He did it, but he did it wrong, unfortunately. And then he got crucified for it. But yeah, it is a big worry of mine, because after the game against them, we could be as low as 16th. And then I think people then really will start shitting the bed. And if we perform like we did up there against them, it could get very, very toxic again, which
the real shame.
Don't want to happen, Dan, because it's been an okay season at the moment.
I think it's been a great season.
I don't think it's been a great season. It's not been a great. It's been an okay season.
Oh, okay. Well, I think it's been a great season for what we've.
It's been an okay season at the moment. It's been a good season at the moment. Yeah, but if we finish 17th in the league,
then it's been a terrible season.
People say, "Oh, we've improved because we finished 20th the year before." But you've got to look at it as an overall.
I honestly believe if we're going to be lower than 12th, it's an even worse season than last year. And you're going to go, shut up. It's because we've had the ability to get close, and then we've just soared ourselves. And that would be, in my opinion, a very, 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 very difficult pill to swallow if we end up 14th, having been 7th, having potentially with Ali being even higher, and we've just absolutely melted. I think that would be a shame. I don't think that'll happen. I still think we've got the ability to be in that top half and be in with the movers and shakers. Considering like where we are, Harrogate can't stick it out. If we're struggling, Harrogate is slow. There's just going to be a few teams who've had those knocks, like Notts County, who have slipped down the hill. They've got too many good players. They've got any team that's got a striker like Langstaff means that they're going to be in and amongst it. I just hope that we give our main guy a chance. But I'm going to be really bold. I think we're going to win 2-0.
Yeah, I agree, because our world media team, which is Joe,
yeah,
we put some predictions out at the start of the season about where we were going to finish.
Right.
A lot of people had us right down there at the moment.
But I had us at, 16th, I think I said.
We did predict, yeah, a lot of people 10th, 14th.
Maybe.
14th. There's a few that had us around that. I didn't want to be below 12th. Did I really? I've said 14th. Do you know what I mean? And I'm a bit worried that if we do finish around that, people will say that's improvement. If we finish around 14th,
I think that's improvement because you've got to look at it
as an overall season.
Yeah, I can understand that holistically.
This team is a playoff team for me. I know we've got injuries now, but with Johnson, Lewis, and when we had Ali, that was a playoff team. Even without Ali now, I still see us as a playoff team. And yeah, I'm going to go 3-1 Wimbledon on Saturday.
Okay.
Because I think we are going to have to go after them if we want to be in the playoff hunt. There's no game on Tuesday, so we can put a team out there that can, do you know what I mean? We're going to get a rest.
And I'm expecting a reaction from the corner.
And I want a reaction.
We need it.
Yep, and also I think Doncaster, as you said, they have nothing to play for, so they might. It looks like they're coming after teams. They score goals, but they also can see goals. So I hope we mix it up a little bit. I really do. I don't want to see Josh Kelly up front on his own. I'd like to see him, as you said, Josh Kelly, Bugle up front, and then Curtis just behind. That'd be perfect for me, and then the rest of it can kind of sort itself out. I do worry about us defensively if we're playing Pierce and Brown.
Yep,
but one game against Doncaster, it ain't going to be the end of the world, I don't think.
But also, the defence hasn't been our problem. But
it could be our problem, though.
Well, I think, as I said, I need to rephrase what I said. I think it is our problem because we can't get higher up the pitch, and the way that we play offensively, I think, is negatively impacted on three of the four defenders that we have in that back four. But we're not conceding lots of goals. We're not conceding. We're we've got literally very few goals have we conceded apart. I mean, Accrington was two absolute stunners, but Accrington, Bradford, Crawley, Morecambe, we haven't made loads of chances.
No.
And the game against Barrow, where I thought we were very good, we shortened the game up. And I feel like that's got to be the next step for us.
I agree.
That's a bit awkward.
You've been agreeing with me all night, mate. I've always been right.
Agreeable.
Right, it's good to be back on the number one AFC Wimbledon podcast. Thanks to Gary Fletcher and the boys at Season Master for sponsoring this season's podcast.
Oh, yes.
That's it. We'll be back on Sunday with another Sunday debrief. I didn't do one last week. Didn't feel great again. But we will be back on Sunday to discuss the game against Doncaster and discuss the game coming up against them. Me and Danny will be back with the podcast next week before the Scum game. Maybe do an interview with an ex-player or something. I don't know. We'll discuss that. Hey, Dan?
Sign.
And then, I'll see everyone at Doncaster. Going up there early doors. I know a few of my mates are going up on Friday night because Doncaster are doing the beat the cost of living crisis. 6 pubs, £20 per person, all you can drink, and unlimited pizza. Mate, what a gaff. What a gaff. I'll be going up there. Donny away, ticking it off one of the list this year. I've done a few of them now, so I'm coming close to that 92.
All right, get yourself.
Get it ticked over. Right. Thanks, Danny. Been a pleasure.
Thank you, Lee.
Come on, you dons.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.